I saw a lot of correlation between the game of baseball and engineers. I've got a jersey that says engineers across the chest of it. It is the colors of the Baltimore Orioles, my favorite team. It's the team I grew up watching, the era of Cal Ripken and through the 90s. But really excited to bring a correlation between engineering and baseball.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. We have a very special guest, someone I've talked to and connected with a few times on LinkedIn, Mr. Brian Wagner. How are you doing, man?
Thank you for having me.
So tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
So I am a professional engineer. I've been in the industry for a little bit more than 20 years, primarily focused on land development engineering. I also have some career experience in public safety and emergency management and a very diverse experience across my professional engineering career.
For those of you that are on YouTube, you'll be able to see his shirt, like a baseball jersey, and it has engineers on it. So Brian, tell us the story behind the jersey.
So I really love the game of baseball. I played it all through Little League, up through high school. My son is currently into 10U baseball, just moved up to kid pitch this year, and really did that last fall. My family has really got into baseball. My parents have always been into baseball. My brother and I have always been into baseball. So I saw a lot of correlation between the game of baseball and engineers. I've got a jersey that says engineers across the chest of it. It is the colors of the Baltimore Orioles, my favorite team. It's the team I grew up watching, the era of Cal Ripken and through the 90s. But really excited to bring a correlation between engineering and baseball to the industry.
Yeah, so let's talk about your book and this intersection or correlation between baseball and engineering.
The book is called Rounding the Bases, Winning Communication and Leadership for Engineers. I've taken a lot of lessons and correlations to baseball through managers, players, and different things across basically 12 different aspects of baseball and tied that all to the challenges, the struggles, the things that I've dealt with throughout my professional career. And I got the idea to make this correlation last fall when my son moved up to 10U baseball. Kids are pitching, coaches are coaching, but up until this year, we had coached from the field, helping the players understand the game. And it was very basic. Like most of the time, players couldn't even throw it accurately. Some could, but most couldn't. You could coach from the outfield and things like that. With Tio, you're coaching from the dugout. The players are on the field. They're trying to figure things out. And my son is really taking an interest in baseball. So he wants to understand the rules, wants to understand situations. And we just can talk through it. What I realized was that my wife and I were talking very different languages about baseball. She didn't understand some of the terminology. She didn't understand some of the nuance. We were at a game, a minor league game, and I was like, the runner's going to go, because it was a full count, which was 3 balls and 2 strikes on the batter. There was a runner on first, but there was only one out. And I'm like, the runner's going to run. He's going to try to steal second. And my son's like, why? And my wife's like, how did you know that as he took off towards second? And I'm like, it's just the nuance of the game. And but you got to know the rules. You got to know the terminology. You got to know the situations. I went to a meeting around the same time and my colleagues were talking to a client and they were talking two very different languages. I felt like I was at that baseball game again because the client didn't understand the engineering nuance and the technical information, couldn't adjust to that. And I really felt like we were speaking two different languages. And I think that's where a lot of engineers struggle from time to time is we have so much knowledge, so much information, so much that we want to help and share, but the audience doesn't always understand that same language. And so that's what I try to break down in this book and how the game of baseball is very similar to engineering. we can learn lessons from both. And that's what I want to give the industry and those that are interested in reading it and learning more.
What's one of your most interesting or memorable stories or concepts that you came across when you were writing this book?
So one was with Curtis Parch, and I think it was the Cincinnati Reds. He was drafted out of high school to play Major League Baseball and get a contract to play in the minors, which he turned down. He chose to go to college and then was actually drafted a second time. So he had a lot of success, was a very promising prospect, made his way through the minor league system, made it to the majors, and his first game that he ever pitched in the Major League Baseball, he came in at the bottom of the 10th inning. The bases were loaded, and he came in to pitch his first major league pitch to a major league batter. And his very first pitch, first time that he was on a major league mound, was a grand slam home run for the batter. And the batter was Matt Holliday. So if you know anything about the Orioles right now, Jackson Holliday is one of their prospects that just came up last year. It was his dad, smashed a grand slam home run, ended up going on to win the game, and Curtis Parch lost the game. Did he really fail in that moment? Some people may say, ooh, maybe he did. And he had a mediocre career. He didn't spend a lot of time in the majors, but he did progress. He did get to where all of these little leagues, where I wanted to get, where my son wants to go. He had a lot of career success. But he had a lot of good success in the minors. He had great success in college and high school. But when he got to the majors, he really struggled to adjust because it's a different game at the major league level. I think I correlate that to understanding your audience and making those adjustments on the fly. If he would have thrown any other pitch in that case, it may not have been a home run. It could have been an out. And he could have won. It could have changed the trajectory. Maybe not. Maybe it did. Maybe it wouldn't. But it was just a really interesting story because the idea of getting to the majors and getting to that pinnacle of there's some 2 million kids play Little League any given year. And Major League Baseball has somewhere around 800 players that are professional baseball players at that level. To get to that level and then feel like you fail is quite overwhelming.
There are a few different threads of the story. One is you have to be able to adjust to your audience when you're trying to communicate a concept or a message. But there's also the thread of throughout your life, as life progresses, so does your definition of success. So maybe early on, the success, ultimately, he had a dream, and I don't know, but ultimately, he had a dream to get to the major leagues, but other pieces formed his success until he got there. So he gets to the minors, still got the dream for the major leagues, but now the definition of success is that I want to do well in the minors so that I can go up to the big league. He's up at the big league. Now your definition of success continues to evolve as you do. It doesn't diminish what you've been able to accomplish along the path, but it is a recognition that you will get to a certain point in your career. You'll get to a certain point in your life where you're looking back and saying, how do I now define success? Because what I thought was going to be successful haven't lived up to the dream that I thought I was going to be.
Absolutely. I've seen that in my career where I started as a drafter and started as that new kid that didn't know anything, thought I knew a lot, didn't know anything about the industry really. And people were willing to take me under their wing and teach me things and help me along the way. And then it kind of transitions because now it's, I'm helping others. And now they're letting me engage with reviewers and other people in that process, contractors. They're speaking different languages. They don't know what I know. But they know they need my help, or they need to understand it, or they have questions because it applies to their aspect, what they're contributing to a success of a project. And then you get into clients and executives, and you get into all this process where there's so much challenge because everybody's different. You and I both have a lot of engineering experience. We could talk about transportation projects and things like that. We're going to speak a very different language than a couple of geotechs, because they're going to look at projects very differently from materials testing or site conditions, and contractors look at it completely different because they're looking at phasing, trying to work together and break down those technical concepts. So it's crystal clear.
You don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but if you have the ability to communicate and connect the dots, you become the most useful person in the room. Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. You don't have to be smart, but you want to be useful. And so there are a few things that comes to mind for me. One is, I'm glad that you brought up your career and your trajectory, because I really want to get into that, because I think that's, people are going to find that very valuable. So I want you to start at the beginning. I want you to go from high school to now.
In high school, I was on an architectural track. I wanted to be an architect, draw houses and do that kind of thing. I went to the Career and Technology Center mainly because I didn't want to learn a foreign language. So we had a choice between doing foreign languages, doing technical school, and I got into the technical school to learn drafting. It was hand drafting. The first year, we weren't allowed to use the computer. We weren't introduced to computer. It was, you're going to use triangles, you're going to use T-squares, you're going to use lead holders, all those terms that some people probably don't know or don't understand. I still have my eraser shields. I still have my original bamboo scale. I got hired as an intern for a civil engineering firm that was local. They were looking for help. They were in the transitional period of going from hand drafting to everything in the computer. So they hired me as an intern to go to work instead of go to school. I didn't finish the VoTech program's curriculum because I was working. They were paying me really good money for a high school student. I was working some 30 hours a week, and I was making a ton of money compared to all my friends that were working at restaurants and laborers and stocking shelves and things like that at the local grocery store. They wanted to keep me, so I stayed there. Never thought I would want to get my license. I was learning about the craft of civil engineering. I was learning from people that had hand drafted their entire careers but had zero interest in learning the computer. So I feel like I came into the industry at a really unique opportunity where I really learned the art of drafting and civil engineering, but then got into the tech and software side to create some really cool things. Fast forward, I progressed there from drafter to project manager, chose not to go to college in that process because I was making good money. At the same time, my family has a large public safety background. My dad was a state fire marshal. My brother's a career firefighter. I have multiple cousins that were career firefighters. I was always on the fence about whether or not I wanted to work in that arena or if I wanted to stay in civil engineering. I did choose to stay in civil engineering because I can make a lot more money. 2008 happened, and the residential market of land development dried up overnight. Yeah. The company I worked for went from some 90 people down to about 20. I was being told the entire time, you'll be here till the end. You're one of our assets. We really want you to stay. And I'm like, what is that next month? Like, as project after project just stopped or was put on pause. So at that point, when I committed, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go get my license. I'm lucky because I live in Maryland, and both Maryland and Pennsylvania, which are the two states that I did most of my work in, do allow a pathway to licensure through experience. With 12 years experience, I was able to qualify and sit for both the FE and the PE exams, to which I did take and pass on my first try, which I'm very proud of, especially as somebody that studied on my own and really applied my practical knowledge, my experience from that 12, 13 years of experience leading up to that time when I got my license. But I think that's why I look at communication different too, because I didn't learn it through conventional path of going to high school, going to college, getting that engineering degree, and then coming out into the workforce. I have 12 to 15 years of practical standing in the field, looking at a hole, trying to figure out how we were going to fix a problem, a drainage problem, why things didn't work, why things did work. And I learned the principles on the back end not necessarily the practical side, to pass those exams. So I do feel like I connect with clients differently because of that experience.
Having been to college, undergrad, and graduate school, there's very little you learn about practical, effective communication. They're not teaching the types of communication skills, being able to pick up on the nuances. That's not part of the engineering curriculum. It's nothing against the curriculum. They have a lot of technical stuff that they have to cover. You know, you have the ABET accreditation. So there are certain requirements that the programs have to meet in order to get accredited. This is not a knock on those programs, but the reality is the nuances and the skills that you need to continue to evolve to progressing your career, it's not really covered there. And you were able to, as you were learning the craft, your situations where you have to use those skills all the time. And those skills were probably developing and evolving, and you didn't even realize that they were developing and evolving. You were just in the moment, in the situation, learning and growing.
Like I said, you and I can have a very different conversation than you can with a lot of clients. The people that you surround yourself all through school, in your career, like learning the trade, working in a company, you're all speaking the same language, and you're not given on day one the opportunity to engage with other parties. So you get really comfortable talking to people that you can speak the same acronyms, the same slang, those little things that you don't even think about. We called stormwater management SWM, and we would just type SWM. Everybody in the company knew what SWM meant. I dropped that into one of my emails to a client once, and he replies, "Does that mean stormwater management?" And I'm like, "Yes, it does." And I'm the one that's talking about this, and I'm doing it still. Like, I completely missed it.
In addition to the acronyms, there's the perspective as well. When you're around people that speak the same language or of the same discipline, you tend to not only communicate the same, but you communicate from the same perspective. When you're working on teams or with a client, you have to make sure that you're looking at things from their perspective. One of the things that I often say is that engineers are great communicators. And people will say, "No, they're not." And I say, "Yes, they are," when they're talking to other engineers. If you are talking to someone that has similar passions, similar background, similar goals, guess what? You guys are going to be able to communicate really well. But when you are forced to talk to someone that has a different background, a different perspective, when you're forced to talk to the business development team or the marketing team and they have different goals, that's where the communication challenges come in. And that's where we have to learn how to adapt.
Think about it every time you open social media, because you're likely surrounded by people that think like you and say things that you agree with. It's just how those algorithms and how that information works.
You know how to solve tough technical problems. But leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. For the person that is going to buy your book, what's the one action that you want them to take and the one overarching ideal?
So the one action is to be willing to change, be willing to make adjustments. I strongly believe that technical expertise will get you in the door. It'll get you to that table. It'll bring you to the opportunity. But having that strong communication and leadership skills is what sets you apart. It's what helps you throttle yourself into the future. You can have the best ideas and be the best, but if you can't convey them, you're going to struggle and people aren't going to want to hear them because they're not going to understand. One of the things that I did in the book is I break down three kind of stereotypical types of people that I dealt with throughout my career. One is a technical savvy person, whether it's your client that knows the regulations, peer or somebody across that multidisciplinary team that you're on. I also look at the person that really doesn't understand what you do as an engineer other than the fact that they had to hire an engineer. In my case, that was the person that responded to one of my emails and asked, what does SWM mean? Stormwater management. And then I also tackle, I've dealt with a few people who didn't think they needed an engineer or felt like they could do my job. They came off as know-it-alls or confrontational, like they challenged me to explain so they understood. And what I've learned with most of those people, it's really not that they're a know-it-all and they want to come off as knowing how to do your job. They just want to understand your job. They're paying a lot of money for some kind of product that they're going to use, whether it's to build a new site, make a decision about a development, or make an engineering choice. Engineers serve a purpose to provide that knowledge. So communicating is very important. At the end of each chapter, I have questions. The questions build on each other. And they're meant for the reader to, because my story, my experience, it's different. It's going to be different than yours. So I put questions at the end of each chapter with the intention of helping the reader correlate it to their life, their experience. Because like you said, my experience is going to be different. And what I take from that story is different. So I want to give them the opportunity to kind of really think through and learn from themselves, learn from me, learn from my failures, learn from my struggles, but also hear my successes, hear some of the things that I've done that work well and that have helped me become a sought after person in my company.
Could you give us the title of the book?
The title of the book is Rounding the Bases: Winning Communication and Leadership for Engineers. It will be available on Amazon.
What's the best way people can get in contact with you?
My website is brianwagner.co, and I would welcome anybody to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm on almost every day, and I do welcome messages and connections, and I really like to engage with those that follow me.
Okay, great. We're going to include links to those in the show notes so people can be, it'll be easy for people to click and follow you. And Brian, again, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. It's a great conversation. And I'm going to end this episode like I end every episode. And that's this: many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and they're living the life of their dreams. I want to thank you for being part of that select few.